He brings the passion.
For what? I want to know now. I'm mentally invested. Don't tell me to pray and you don't say what for.
He brings the perspective.
Yeah, I think they both have a great point.
Get off me, text line.
He's truly one of a kind.
That is whack.
Oh, my God.
And he's doing a great job.
Okay. I need you to man up and say what you really want to say.
Diamond, you're doing a great job.
Go Green Wave.
And together, they're Steiny and Guru.
Yeah.
On 95.7 The Game.
Oh, everybody's waiting. Everybody's waiting.
Step on.
You guys want to know what I'm going to start with? Uh-huh. Hey, Goo, we got a football problem?
Not to me.
Apparently, we got a football problem.
Yeah.
I got to believe that you're... I just saw a statistic where... Boy, you got to be rankled. You know, passing numbers are down across the board in the NFL the first 2 weeks?
Everybody's crying. I have heard that, but I'm going to be honest. I have not noticed in real time watching.
Really?
I think I got an answer to it. Nobody plays in preseason. I think it's trust issues, and I think after week four, Steiny, things will pick back up. But Evan was telling me, let's just look at the Chargers. All of a sudden, 2-0 under Harbaugh. But if you look at Herbert, he's thrown 35 passes combined in two games. He used to do that in one. They had him throw it for 50 last year.
Yeah. You know who leads the league in passing yards?
Yeah.
You know. Go ahead.
Number 13.
Brock Purdy.
Yep.
Brock Purdy. Does it seem like he's been throwing for more yardage than any other quarterback in the NFL? I mean, it doesn't seem like that to me.
Yeah.
But
one touchdown on the season. Not that that means anything, but he don't have a 97-yarder like Sam Darnold. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those are the ones you remember.
And that's the one, that play, the reason to me that play sticks out, the Justin Jefferson 97-yard pass, is because there's another thing going on with the NFL. Not only are passing yards down, but what they call air yards are the lowest since that stat has been tracked in 2006. So quarterbacks are not only throwing it less, they're throwing it shorter. They're throwing it fewer yards than they've ever thrown it before, which means there's less deep passes.
Through two weeks, Steiny. Yeah. A lot of games in those 2 weeks, but through 2 weeks.
Yeah, the numbers, though, are really...
Because the guys on the outside are getting paid, like the Justin Jeffersons, to do what he did, the Jamar Chases. And, you know, stuff is funky right now because there's a lot of rust, I believe. But, you know, I guess that's, like I said, talking to myself, Steiny, a short sample size is not affecting the pay from the wide receivers, Brandon Ayuk included, who got his big deal.
Yeah, I'm just, if you're an NFL fan, do you like the first 2 weeks with less passing, with shorter throws? Is it just a two game blip and things will come back to more noticeable the way they have been? Do you like it? I mean, if we became, and I say we, but if the NFL became a league that started running the football more, would that impact the way you watch the game? Would it impact your enjoyment of the game? What gives you enjoyment watching a football game? What do you guys like to see?
I love that question. You talking to me, right?
Yeah.
Oh no, the other guru in the room. Competition, the importance of every play. So I am not a Farhan Zaidi type of programmed mind to where I'm a computer and I watch and I can tell in real time because my analytic radar is going off. Hey, Steiny's not throwing the ball as much. I didn't notice that. But just growing up, we got some sound from the great Mel Kiper. Don't tell Bonte I called him great. Mel Kiper Jr., just about his thoughts on football offensively as a whole. But Steiny, I've never noticed it. I guess that's what I'm telling you. So when you say, what am I looking for? I'm looking for what it's given me and what we're going to see tonight when the Jets take on the Patriots. Jets minus six. But the importance of each play and week one, feeling like it's a playoff game. So I look for the competition, and I have not noticed, Steiny, that they're not throwing the pigskin around through 2 weeks. So I didn't know that. That was brought to my attention.
Well, I didn't notice it watching all the games I watched, but how do fans, maybe fans did notice. If you're a big consumer of football, I'm just talking about the eye test here.
The eye test.
Through two games. If after the last game you watched this week, you thought to yourself, doesn't feel like they're passing as much as they have in the past. I'm with Goo. I haven't really noticed it, but the numbers are pretty glaring.
And fantasy football numbers are down for quarterbacks. Yeah.
Okay. And let me throw this to Evan if he's listening.
Evan!
Well, he's
going to be a no.
He didn't have his headphones.
Yeah, no. Yeah. But I got to tell you a funny story, too.
I'm just setting him up so he can do the hand. Okay. That's all I'm doing. I'm being a team player, and I'm setting up so he can do the hand.
Goo's in mourning after yesterday's shirt debacle.
Thank you, Evan.
Wow.
Did you, you did the research on the passing stats being down. Did you?
Well, there's actually a lot of other smarter people that did them. I just read them, but yes.
See what I mean? I'm trying to pay him a compliment.
But he was doing that to himself. He didn't want to take credit. That's why we love him.
Yeah, I didn't do the research.
Yeah. A guy like you would have said, yes, you did. I was up all night.
You looked up all the stories and found the pertinent. Did you notice through with the eye test, did you feel like after the game on Monday night, the last game you watched through 2 weeks, did you think to yourself, doesn't feel like they're passing as much?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't really notice it, but Evan did.
Well,
Evan did.
I also watched the Chargers, and I've had to readjust the way I watch my favorite team because they used to drop Herbert back 50 times, and now the run of the ball would feel like 50 times.
Do you think that's going to continue, E? I mean, they're 2-0, but you think, because my whole thing is maybe it's their teams are kind of, you know what? Week 3, we'll really let it start hanging out.
I think eventually when teams commit more to the run, we'll see kind of like a market correction. So defenses will start to play up closer into the box, and then that's when you'll see the top-flight quarterbacks start to air the ball down the field. But at the beginning of the season, it just feels like teams are making you move down the field more methodically, and if you try and press the ball down the field, you're going to run into trouble.
Yeah, because I'm looking at, just to that point, Evan Steiny, I'm looking at the Jets. I'm like, I don't recognize this Aaron Rodgers, even on incompletions. What the hell is this dink and dunk? Like, they hadn't opened it up yet, so maybe we see that tonight.
The other thing is, if passing is down and long passing is down, or teams are taking fewer shots down the field, is that good, bad, or indifferent as it relates to the San Francisco 49ers? Does it register as a 49er fan that this could be beneficial or detrimental if the league is trending in that direction? I don't know.
Well, you talked about it yesterday. We can just go back to Minnesota game. Purdy threw it almost 40 times, 23 of 36, 28 of 36. But the bottom line, Stoney, is you said, you know what, Goo? To you, tell me if I'm wrong here, you don't feel like the Niners are a go-up top team.
No. Do you?
No, and it's frustrating at times, but we're in an era now where – if you get behind your dude, Stoney, like a Cooper Kupp or a Brandon Ayuk, because if you slice and dice him at the line, you can, you know, catch a 15-yarder and take it 45, take it 50. But I'd like to see them do the Justin Jefferson, just attempt it to keep the defense honest.
Yeah. 888-957-9570. The 49ers take on the Rams, 125 on Sunday, SoFi Stadium. They're going to do it without Christian McCaffrey. They're going to do it without Deebo Samuel. And they're going up against Sean McVay, a coach who's got, to my way of thinking, a lot of similarities with Kyle Shanahan. They were both hired in the same year. They're both entering their eighth year.
On the same staff in 2013,
Stoney. Yeah, McVay. His regular season record, 70-47 through 107 games. Shanahan, 65-52 through 107 games. McVay, 7-4 in the postseason. Shanahan, 8-4 in the postseason. Of course, Kyle has lost two Super Bowls. McVay has a Super Bowl. So where does Sean McVay fit in terms of NFL coaches? Because we've been going over that a lot the last few days, and I kind of want to get into that too. How many, real quick, before we take a break, how many coaches currently in the NFL have won a Super Bowl? Just give me a number off the top of your head.
I'm going to say six.
Four, five. Six.
Did I get it right?
Harbaugh, oh. McCarthy, Peyton, Doug Peterson, Andy Reid, Mike Tomlin.
Wow. Way to start it, dude.
Six of 32 coaches have become... Uh-oh. No, I'm wrong.
Damn.
Seven. Because I didn't mention McVay.
Oh, seven.
McVay's not on there. So let me put McVay on there.
But they're from the same tree, Steiny.
Yep. All right. 888-957-9570. When we come back, we're going to get into this, some of these passing numbers and why they're down and whether or not it's a trend. 888-957-9570. What's coming up on the game is presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. That segment brought to you by Lucky California. Hit me again, Spadoni.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, coming up today at noon, one of my favorites.
Who we got?
Scott McLuhan, wow. Former general manager of the 49ers.
Let's go.
And Washington football team. Scott McLuhan, he, of course, was instrumental in the drafting of Frank Gore. And we're going to talk a little bit about Frank Gore, just got inducted into the 49er Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Probably going to be a matter of time before he gets into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I wish they didn't have a sit-out period. I don't know what the how many years it is. I wish he could just go right in.
Well, it's interesting because they just did announce 16 new first-year candidates for the NFL Hall of Fame. I'll throw some of those names at you a little bit later. But we're talking about the 49ers and the LA Rams. Coach Invalio wants to jump in here. We just threw around some passing numbers the first 2 weeks of the year. Passing is way down in the NFL so far through two games. What's up, Coach? Break it down for us.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
Doing well.
You know, Tom Brady and Romo both mentioned that almost all defenses are playing the two deep safety.
Okay.
And that's what's really preventing, you know, making the underneath stuff more available. And even on the big play that Jefferson made, the 49ers were actually still in the two deep safety. He just outran it.
Mm.
But that's the main reason you see all the underneath stuff is that most teams are going back to the two deep safety, you know, and zoning up. So I think that's what's precipitating all the short passes.
Go ahead, Stoney.
I was just going to say, Coach,
I got a question for him.
When was there a time when the two deep safeties was a staple in the NFL?
Right. You know, there actually was a time, but the machoism on players like Deion Sanders and these guys said, hey, let me isolate, go one-on-one, let me take the top receiver, you can roll your safeties over and, you know, play the other guy. I think teams are starting to get away from that now, and so they're just zoning up more and playing deep and, you know, throw the short pass and rally to the ball.
Hey, I have no way before you go to prove this, but callers like yourself, one of my favorites, were on my mind with this Brock Purdy situation without his weaponry. So I don't want to speak for you, but I'm going to ask you, are you more excited now to see Brock Purdy without some of those weapons to get more of an analyzation on him?
You know, I think Brock Purdy, either way, is going to be okay because his game is such a controlled game and this is not dependent upon having the superstars out there.
Mm.
You know, he's definitely more of a system guy, get receiver in the right place. I throw it to a spot and the receiver should be there. So he's not as dependent as a lot of guys, like, say, Minnesota or someone like that, that's depending on their superstar to bail him out of trouble. So I think Brock will be fine with this.
Mm. Great stuff, Coach. Appreciate the call. And we'll ask Scott McLuhan about that at noon. Because I am interested to know when the two safety system was used frequently and then when it kind of went away and then if it is in fact
because we can't overreact, right,
being a staple.
Yeah, we can't overreact. But it's a lot of games in those two weeks.
Well, how would you do a show then?
Oh, no, I'm not saying that. I'm talking to the football fans, the people that think, like, this is here to stay.
Guru, what's more impressive, a 97-yard touchdown bomb or a 99-yard 12-play drive. Somebody wants to know that, so I'm asking
you. I love both, but I'll take the 97-yard bomb all day.
I figured.
I'm named after a bomber, Daryl LaMonica.
The question I do have for 49er fans heading into this game, and I'll admit it, I'm part of this group. So we've watched Brock Purdy play now for a little over a year and a half, and he's been coming through with flying colors.
Yep.
No doubt about it. He's been terrific. But I'll admit, the next two games, I'm looking more forward to watching Brock Purdy and the 49ers than I would a normal game, because I do want to see how Brock Purdy plays in the next 2 weeks without Deebo Samuel and McCaffrey. Not so that I can make a final judgment on him, but I love the idea of getting at least part of the resume, at least part of the resume to include, here's what he did when he wasn't healthy, or no, here's what he did when the guys on offense, some of the guys on offense haven't been healthy, and here's the evidence of what he's done, or here's the scouting report of what he's done. I was saying this yesterday, and I still think it. I think this could be a great thing for the San Francisco 49ers, and I just want to know if 49er fans out there, how you're approaching this particular game, and particularly the next two games, including next week against the Patriots, knowing that Deebo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey won't play. Do you think we're all making too big of a deal out of that, and we're putting too much on these Brock Purdy performances? I'm not putting his whole reputation on the line.
See, that's what I was going to ask. What are you going to do with this information?
I'm going to put it in the file. I'm going to put it in the file.
I got you.
And what else is in the file is three straight losses last year when they didn't have Trent Williams and when they didn't have Deebo Samuel. So that's in the file. But I do want to ask 49er fans if they're maybe going to watch this game a little more keenly and maybe evaluate Brock Purdy in a different way. Is this just another game, as far as you're concerned, for the Niners and Brock Purdy? And I'm just telling you, for me, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not just another game. It's a chance to see Brock Purdy under a new set of circumstances.
And I thought we saw that demonstrated last week, and he had the luxury of having Deebo Samuel. But Stani, it is. I'm right behind you with that excitement on a personal level, just to see, okay, what is Brock bringing to the table? And some, we don't even know if it's just going to be 2 weeks, but I am so just infatuated with the fact of, because everybody's different than you, I'm different, and they're different than myself. What do we do with that info? You know, with that new intel, with that new information. And then what do the Niners do with it, if anything at all? So, you know, he almost threw the ball 40 times last week. He looked regular. I'm not blaming the game on him, but I think I could put that one in the file if that wasn't Brock Purdy's best game. So, you know, if I'm the Rams, they got ailments and they're without guys too. But crap, I feel like they're getting the Niners at the best time, most inopportune time, too.
888-957-9570 is the number. I'm asking 49er fans. You know this team inside and out. You know that Brock Purdy's got a ton of weapons. How's he going to do without, to my way of thinking, his two most important weapons? And the reason I think McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel, if you had to make the offensive pecking order of the 49ers, I'd say McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, Ayuk, Kittle, Jennings. I'd go those five. And the reason I would put the first two guys one and two is because they're the weapons who can both run and catch the ball. So he's going to play without his two most versatile weapons on Sunday, and then the following Sunday against the Patriots. I think that's an interesting factor to this, too. Now he's going to play with Ayuk, wide receiver, Kittle, tight end, Mason, running back. And the lone guy kind of left who can do both is Kyle Juszczyk, believe it or not. So maybe he'll use Juszczyk more. But in terms of a passing target, Mason's not a great one. And so two of his versatile players won't be playing.
Yeah, and I know we kind of argued. We didn't even argue. We talked about the six field goals as a whole that the Niners offense mustered up against the Jets week one. But it's fair to say, if we're going to talk about, you know, the lack of passing, and that's where it's at right now through 2 weeks, Stoddy, I can honestly say this is not the Brock Purdy of last year, where he had the luxury of handing the ball and throwing to Christian McCaffrey. So we all definitely need to see more. We want to see more. But it is kind of fascinating, you know, my scorecard, where he was almost pitching a perfect game, and all of a sudden things have changed and guys are not available. And, you know, the two games he's been average.
888-957-9570 is the number. And I'm looking for how 49er fans are looking at the next two games. Are you looking at these two games as a way to measure Brock Purdy in a way that you haven't measured him before? Or are you not looking at the game that way at all? Are you looking at it as though, look, Brock Purdy's the quarterback, plain and simple. Let's go out and see if we can win a couple games with our weapons banged up. That's it. That's the only. And then game five, ideally, Debo comes back. Game six, McCaffrey comes back, and there's nothing to see here.
Boom.
That's what. Is that what you're looking at? Or are you looking at, huh, this is going to be a different kind of 49er game this week and next? And to that way of thinking, let me just throw this out there. He doesn't have Debo Samuel. He doesn't have Christian McCaffrey. I'm talking about both Shanahan and Purdy. So what do you expect? Do you expect more passing, less passing, more running? Do you expect it to be looking pretty much like it's always looked? Like what? What would you do without those two players in terms of attacking the L.A. Rams?
Well, that's a great question. I'll just say this, recency bias. I saw what Arizona and Marvin Harrison Jr. and Kyler Murray, the electric Kyler Murray, I saw what they did to the Rams secondary early on in that game, Stoney. So if you're asking me, if I'm Kyle, I'm coming out and I'm going to try to just bust him with the pass. So Juwan Jennings, step up. Brandon Ayuk, we've all talked, and we want to see a big game from you, George Kittle. So I'm trying to get him with the pass, Stoney. That's how I would try to slay this dragon. And again, I know a lot's being made about Brian Flores, but the bottom line is that, forget his name, there was a football game in Minnesota. There was a defense trying to stop Brock Purdy, who had Debo Samuel for most of the game, and they didn't look like themselves. So now you just talked about it, no Debo. Plan of attack. I like to see more Mason. Maybe we see that. You ask me, I'm giving you an answer. But I'll tell you this, Donnie, there's no way this game comes and goes and Jordan Mason doesn't have more than 20 carries.
I
believe.
Well, so the thing I find interesting is you said you want to bust him with the pass.
Yeah.
So last week, the 49ers threw 36 times. And they threw on seven of their first eight possessions.
Right.
How'd that work out?
No, it didn't.
Exactly.
2 of 10 on third down.
Exactly. So, and I'm not saying you're wrong.
Yeah.
And that, I'm not saying you're wrong.
How much of that is execution? You know?
It's part of it for sure. It's part of it for sure. And just to start a conversation here, I would say, huh, so you're missing your two guys who catch the ball out of the backfield, let's try to throw it more, or let's try to run it more. What are we doing if we're Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy? 888-957-9570. Let's go out to Chase. Chase is in South City. What's up, Chase? How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing well, guys. We always say, Steiny, you're doing a great job. Hey, Steiny and Guru, you guys are both doing a great job. How about that?
Right, thank you.
Hey, I just want to say one thing, maybe a couple things. Prior to Trent and Ayuk getting signed and coming back, a part of me wanted to see the way Brock played without those guys. Because everyone says, oh, you know, when he has the Avengers, he's only as good as that. But he's about to get paid. We want to see how this guy's going to be when he has lesser players around him, and things like that. So I kind of wanted to see that, and we saw a little slight glimpse of it without CMC, but, man, last week Brock looked way too much like Jimmy. He was a statue in the pocket. He could have escaped multiple plays. I want to see more. You know, I'm not saying, you know, run the read option with Brock Purdy, but there's got to be some design runs for Brock Purdy when he drops back like he's going to pass and shoots up, you know, like run up the middle.
Right.
So to threaten the defense, Brock Purdy is a great thrower on the move. We need to get him, you know, maybe more boot game, you know, whatever it is where he rolls out. I mean, that Brock Purdy's dangerous like that. So I think we need to switch up the drop back passing game for Brock Purdy.
Thanks, Chase. Appreciate the call. You know what? That just reminded me of something. What that call. And I don't have stats to back this up, but again, this is just kind of the way my mind's eye is working, and that is, okay, I'm thinking about Brock Purdy, let's say, this year, the first two games, and what my mind pictures is he's sitting in the pocket, and it's slowly collapsing.
Yeah,
that's the way I've thought about the first couple games, and sometimes he, you know, hits a guy, and
gotcha.
They complete it or they don't. But when Purdy started quarterbacking for the Niners, and even last year, it felt like he was just a little more mobile. I'm not saying he's not mobile anymore, but he doesn't seem to be as evasive or looking to be as evasive. It looks like, does it look like to you that he's trying to make a concerted effort to stay in the pocket?
Tell me what you think here, but I think that's because he's comfortable. I think because he's looking downfield, he wants to go for that big payday play. And that's why I believe, Steiny, he would rather do that than put himself in harm's way by doing the little skedaddle that we talk about. Because before the season started, I was telling you and the listeners, man, he don't get enough credit for a scooting ability. But at the end of the day, I think that's because the command is growing and the confidence of him, Steiny, feeling like I can throw every throw. But to that caller's point, and this is not, I am not hating. I felt like there were some Jimmy stuff going on a little bit in the pocket against the Minnesota Vikings last week when the pressure in the pocket start collapsing. So I'm not going to apologize for that. So when he said that, I was like, okay, is he better than Jimmy? I believe so. But it's just interesting now, Steiny, you know, how it's set up, how we're watching, and what we'll do with the said information, putting it in the file moving forward until these guys come back.
It doesn't feel like Purdy's made any plays getting flushed out of the pocket. And I feel like in the past, that's where he could drive defenses crazy in a way. Where you think you have him, but you don't. And he does have just a sliver of Mahomes in him that way.
Yeah.
I think. Notice I said a sliver of extended a play, and he loves throwing when he's moving to his right. So
Mickey D on the YouTube chat, Steiny, saying maybe Kyle told him not to. I don't believe that to be the case.
Yeah, I don't know why you would.
Right.
Why you would tell him not to. But
can we tip our hat to the defense? Maybe they're on to that and trying to take that away from. I'm just saying.
Maybe. I don't know.
You've noticed that.
Talking about something that I've noticed, and it feels like Brock Purdy has been more stationary this year.
He had 12 yards. Two scoots for 12 yards last week, Steiny.
Let's go to George in San Francisco. What's up, George? How you doing, man?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
I called in.
Okay.
Full disclosure, I've never been a Brock Purdy fan. I'm old. I'm 73 years old. I'm from Pennsylvania. So Terry Bradshaw, all those guys, right?
Okay.
Brock Purdy will do whatever Kyle tells him to do.
Right.
So if Kyle doesn't put in a game plan to use him the way he needs to use it, it's all on Brock. But it's Kyle's game plan. Why doesn't he throw downfield more? Why aren't there any more long passes? It's because he's too short and guys block his passes. The old stuff, small hands. All I'm saying is I think it's more Kyle than Brock. What is Kyle going to call so Brock can be successful? And if he can't throw long, Kyle won't call anything wrong. Sam Darnold, who I think was a good quarterback, proved it the other day. He threw a long pass. Had Brock ever thrown anything that long in his career successfully? And that's all my thing. I'm just saying he is a system quarterback. I believe that. But the system is run by Kyle. So is Kyle going to let him do different things? Is Kyle going to call different plays? And that's my take.
Well, let me think. Just off the top of your head, George, what do you think?
I think it's Kyle. I always have.
No, I mean, what kind of plays do you think he's going to call? Do you think it'll look the same as a normal game, or do you think it'll look a little different?
I do. I think it'll look the same.
Gotcha.
Because that's just it. I think it'll look exactly the same, and hopefully the guys he puts in for Debo and will run and catch and throw. Ayuk needs to get his posterior in gear and start playing football.
Appreciate the call, George. Thank you very much.
I remember a couple years ago, it might have even been last year. He hit Kittle in Jacksonville for a 97-yard. Remember that one? Now, the ball didn't travel in the air 60 yards, but it was one of the longest plays of the year.
Yeah, I remember the 76-yarder to Ayuk last year. Ayuk got behind a guy maybe 30, 35 yards behind the guy, then caught it and took it to the house. But, no, I don't remember many throws where Brock Purdy drops back and heaves it 50 yards. I don't know if that's a function of he can't do it. The receivers aren't great at it. Kyle doesn't like calling those kind of plays. Not sure.
Yeah, my question real quick to you is, like Brandon Ayuk, he just mentioned him. Like, he better show up and, get his ass in gear. But my thing is, what if Kyle calls a conservative game plan and there's five targets for Ayuk, Steiny? We come in here Monday, they win 4 for 46. Like, I think that's not going to be good enough to some people because of this contract. And I feel like Kyle is the biggest conductor of, okay, I'm going to go to him. We're going to feed him. I'm going to call his number. But if it's a win, I think the Jackals should back off.
Maybe Kyle Shanahan doesn't feel like Brandon Ayuk's in good enough shape or in a good enough place to make him somebody we throw to 8 to 10 times a game. That might be it, too. Kyle Shanahan may be looking at Ayuk saying, hey, he's rusty. He just is. He missed camp, and he's behind. Mm. And because of that, I can't use him like I might have used him during the midseason of last year when he was completely healthy and in tune with Brock Purdy, and I felt like I could use him that way. Maybe if I see Brandon Ayuk, 3 catches, 42 yards on Sunday, at that point, I got to say, well, clearly the holdouts affected him, but it also might be affecting the way Kyle Shanahan's coaching him. Not necessarily because he's mad that he held out, but if Kyle Shanahan doesn't think Brandon Ayuk is where he needs to be, we saw what happened to Ayuk in the first couple years under Shanahan. Yeah. So maybe he just doesn't go to him as much as he normally would if he thinks he's healthy and in shape. 888-957-9570 is the number. And my question to 49er fans is twofold. Are you watching this game a little more keenly because you know that your quarterback is going to play a game without two vital performers? And then also, how do you think Kyle Shanahan is going to attack the Rams without those two weapons? Do you think the game's going to look the same as it normally looks, or is it going to just look a little bit different? And also, why isn't Brock Purdy extending more plays? 888-957-9570 is the number. That segment brought to you by Chilton Auto Body.